Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Not 11, but 12. Now give attention to the reading of God's holy word. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. It came about from the day that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim that at that time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord, and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the sons of Israel removed the Baals and the Ashtaroth and served the Lord alone. Then Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mitzvah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. They gathered to Mitzvah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on the day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mitzvah. Now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered to Mitzvah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he will save us from the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for the whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder, and on that day against the Philistines, and confused them, so that they were routed before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mitzvah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mitzvah and Shen, and named it Ebenezer, saying, Thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus ends the reading. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, we bow again with thankfulness for your word. We thank you that we have these accounts of you protecting your people and of you providing for your people if we only humble ourselves and seek after you. And we pray this morning that you would give us the grace we need to seek after you, to draw close to you as we hear your word proclaimed, that you would free us from distractions that would crowd into our minds, that would keep us off track, that we would be focused on the word proclaimed by your servant, that you would equip him with a power, that your word would go forth, that would change our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit working in them, that he would be careful and he would be faithful and he would be diligent as he proclaims the message of a king to us, your gathered people. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated.
Be sure that your Bibles are open to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. I thought it appropriate at the end of the year, as we enter into the new year, to do some reflecting on our relationship with the Lord. As we pass from the old year to the new year, it would be a good idea to take thought of the Lord and his goodness and the significance of our relationship to him. Our text is well suited for this purpose, and I want to meditate just a bit on this word, Ebenezer, in verse 12, made up of two Hebrew words, Eben, or Evan, and Nazer. It means stone or rock of help. It was meant to remind Israel whose they were, that they belonged to the Lord. It was meant to remind them of his faithfulness and care for them. Significantly, they had just seen that care manifested when the Lord went to war against the Philistines and struck them not with a lightning, but with thunder and confused them so that Israel could defeat them and send them away. And Samuel's explanation then of the word Ebenezer gives it a signification quite useful for our meditation on past years and our meditation on the coming year. I want you to consider carefully the context of Samuel's words in verse 12. Israel had been unfaithful. They had sinned against the Lord, their God. They had idols in their midst, which meant this has been going on for quite some time, perhaps for years. Verse 3. If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. In other words, you want the Philistines or do you want your gods? Do you want your God? Do you want your idols or do you want your God? Make your choice. Now, these were foreign gods, and the Ashtaroth was the name of a goddess. And Samuel called them to repentance from their idolatry and other sins in verses 4 through 6. So the sons of Israel removed the Baals and the Ashtaroth and served the Lord alone. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. And they gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, and this is what Samuel wanted, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah, by which I suspect he directed how they were to be punished if they had broken the law of God in accordance with the law of God. They had the Ten Commandments, they had the books of Moses, and so they knew what they had to do. And then Samuel sacrificed to the Lord. It would have been a lamb. And he would have laid hands on the lamb and confessed the sins of Israel over the lamb. And then he prayed, and Yahweh forgave and delivered them. And then he fought for them, as we saw, when the Philistines came on them. The Lord fought for them with thunder. The Lord protected them as they wanted. He heard Samuel's prayer, Christ-like. He intercedes for them. And the Lord hears and follows through with the scattering of the Philistines. And so Samuel puts this stone down. He picks up a stone and puts it in front of them and says, this is Ebenezer. We call it Ebenezer because thus far the Lord has helped us. They were to look at the stone. The Israelites were to look at the stone. And they were to remember how he saved them yet again. Yet again, this wasn't the first time in their history he had done this. From their enemies and the destruction they deserved for their sin. They deserved to be destroyed by the Philistines. But the Lord saved them yet again. This is the help that is referred to by the name Ebenezer. But Israel had a long history of rebellion against the Lord, didn't they? All through the book of Judges, you read of it. And all through the beginning of 1 Samuel, you read of it. Since Moses and the judges, again and again, they had sinned, but when they repented again and again, Yahweh saved them again and again. So this Ebenezer became one of a number of symbols, symbolic rocks and altars in remembrance of Yahweh's grace and goodness since Jacob. Ebenezer was a token to remind his people of God's help, his mercy, to remind his people of his grace. But it was also a token of yet greater grace and mercy, that God would continue to be faithful and that his people's part in the future would be to serve him and that he would take care of them. So I want you to think with me just for a few moments about other Ebenezers, though they're not called Ebenezers, or reminders in the Old Testament. We can start with the rainbow. Remember after the flood, the Lord told Noah that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. And then he set a rainbow in the heavens so that he said, when I see the rainbow, I'll remember my promise, and I will not again wipe all flesh off the face of the earth. This was a reminder, not an Ebenezer. Nevertheless, it serves as a kind of Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has not destroyed us. Thus far, the Lord has kept his promise. And then Yahweh appointed circumcision, didn't he, with Abraham, as a reminder of who Israel was, of Israel's covenant identity. Then you have Abraham, Isaac and Jacob building altars to remind them of Yahweh's faithfulness in time past. And Jacob himself put a stone in place and said, if the Lord brings me back to my people, I will serve him. And that stone was there so that when he returned, he would see the stone and remember that God had protected him and brought him back safely. And so he would be faithful to him. And of course, the Lord appointed the Passover as well. And on that day, each year, that best day of the year, they were to remember his faithfulness in the past. And that was a pledge of his faithfulness in the future. And then they were... All those remembrances, all those memories, all those Ebenezers were a call to God's people, not just to remember the past, but to continue in faith and faithfulness and obedience and thankfulness for God's mercies. You see, God is teaching his people. He's teaching them through Samuel here. But we find something similar in the New Testament as well. Turn with me to Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. We will celebrate the Lord's Supper after this service, at the end of the service this morning. But if you read Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, and it says, when Christ had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They were to remember the Lord Jesus when they took the bread and broke it. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. They were to remember him. They were to do it in remembrance of him and share the cup. And so the Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ as a sign of our participation in the death of Christ, a reminder of the price that he paid for us, a reminder of our union with him in his death and then his resurrection. When we receive the supper this morning, we're to remember Jesus, what he did for us, how he could have left us to die because of our sins. He could have left us in the hands of the devil. That option was there. But in his grace and mercy, he chose to come and save us. And when we receive the Lord's Supper, that's to remind us of what Jesus means to us, of who he is, that he's our Lord and our Savior. And then in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, turn to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, yet another reminder is given. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's meeting with his disciples on a mountain he had designated. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Two things that are associated then with baptism is they are to remember all that Jesus has commanded, and they are to remember that he's with them always unto the end of the age. And so the sign of baptism serves as a reminder that Jesus is our Lord, Jesus is our Savior, we owe him fealty, we owe him loyalty, we owe him faithful service. Another reminder. Do you think God perhaps knew we would easily forget all these reminders? All these reminders. His people always forget. We always forget. But God bows himself, humbles himself to take notice of our easy forgetting and gives these concrete signs. And when you read through your Bible in the coming year, hint, hint, you're to read of these Ebenezers. You're to remember the Lord's faithfulness to you. You are to remember what the Lord has done for you, how you belong in hell, how you belong under the frightful hand of God's punishment. But God has saved you, and he planned to do it from the very start of creation. You're to remember God is faithful. Do you remember the evidence of God's mercies and deliverance in this past year? The things that God has done for you? Has God helped you through this past year in unexpected ways? You expected he would help you, then remind yourself of these times today. Talk about them at lunch today. Speak of them in your homes this evening and before bed. Think of them as you go to sleep tonight. There's really not one minute of your life that has not and will not contain at least an implicit reminder of God's mercy and help and faithfulness. That you woke up this morning all by itself is proof of his faithfulness. It's proof of his mercy. We ought to have died in our sleep. But we're here worshiping him. That we're allowed in his presence is an Ebenezer. That he doesn't strike us down as he did in the Old Testament, people who came arrogantly into his presence, but instead with his smile welcomes us as his children and accepts our worship is another mercy, another reminder that God is our God and loves us. There's really not one minute of your life that has not and will not contain at least an implicit reminder of God's mercy, help, and faithfulness. We go into the new year, sometimes with trepidation, and we like to say, well, that's the old year. We'll just forget that. Don't forget. Don't forget. On our refrigerator, there's a whiteboard. We have a friend named Naomi, my wife and I. And we were talking to her. My wife was talking to her about the troubles we've been having, struggles we've been having. And Naomi said, well, what we say in our house is we're still here. A sign of God's faithfulness that we're still here. My wife liked that saying, and so if you look at the whiteboard, if you're in our house, at the bottom of the whiteboard, it says, we're still here. Things may be tough, they may be difficult, but we're still here. And the reason we're still here is because God has been faithful. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And that's an encouragement to think and believe he'll help us even further along the way. Didn't Jesus say, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age? Sure he did. But then take it a step further in the coming year. The Ebenezer was not just simply a reminder of the past, but a token of God's faithfulness in the future. I've made that point. Israel was to see the stone of remembrance, remember his past mercies, and be encouraged by the unchanging faithfulness of God for the future. That was Samuel's point. That from that time forward, God's covenant faithfulness would be a reality and an important consideration restraining them from sin. How can I sin against him when he's been so good to me? How can I do this thing? More than one person in Scripture has said that, haven't they? It would remind them to continue to teach their children to be faithful to the Lord in their lives, each day of their lives now and for as long as they lived. So I want you to consider at the turn of the year setting a kind of Ebenezer for yourself. You don't need a stone. We have baptism. And we have the Lord's Supper. And we have God's promises. We have, oh Lord, Lord, be praised, we have Christ. This is a sign of his faithfulness. And let me give you this, that you need to remember what God has done in past years, and especially his great kindness and mercy in this past year. Let me give you some more Ebenezers. We're under vows as members. Now, you see in your bulletin an insert. I have it listed there. Things, the vows that have been made by every member of this congregation, vows that have been made by myself and by my elders, vows that have been made by the congregation when I was made your pastor, when I was installed as your pastor. I'm not going to read this to you. I was going to, but I think you're capable of reading that. And I want you to realize that those are reminders to you. Those are reminders to you of God's faithfulness and of your duty to remember his faithfulness and to be faithful in response. These are tokens, these vows. These vows are tokens that we have received God's covenant faithfulness to us, and that we love and trust him. And so, ask him for grace to grow in faithfulness in the coming year, to continue in repentance from sin, to continue in faith in Christ. This has been quite a year, has it not? I wish you could see from my perspective. I see two babies that were not here this time last year. The Walkers have special reason to be grateful. And they're not the only babies, are they? We have a couple babies in waiting. God's faithfulness. People have left, yes. But children have been born. There has been sickness. There has been hardship. We have all of us faced temptations of different kinds, some greater, some lesser. But we have never faced them alone. Emmanuel, God is with us and has been with us. And Jesus has continued to be our Emmanuel, our faithful God, our help in ages past and hope for years to come. Since the day the Lord called us to be his children and his people, since the day that New Hope was established years ago, he has been faithful. He has been our help as a congregation, hasn't he? In times of weakness and strength, in times of anger and sadness, in times of sickness and health, he has been faithful. He has helped us. In times of trial and challenge and uncertainty, he has been faithful. He has helped us. As in previous years, so also in the past year, God has been faithful to us. He has kept his covenant with us. He has sanctified us. He's heard and answered prayer. He has helped us. He is faithful. He continues faithful. He'll continue to be faithful. Beloved, I have no rock to place before you, but our true rock. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. And because that is true, as we close this year, is not a person in this room who trusts in Jesus who is unable to say and mean it, thus far has the Lord helped us. And will he not continue to help us? Most assuredly, he will. What I want each of us to do then as we begin this new year is to ask and then trust God to continue to help us as he has in the past. Simple prayer. You've been faithful in the past. Please continue to be faithful, Lord. Make that a part of your daily prayers between now and the next year. And that is what I'd like us to continue to confess, each one of us, as we enter the year of his grace 2020. Thus far has our Lord and God helped us. And that will not change in 2020, for our God is infinite and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He is with each one of you now and will not leave or forsake any of us. May he grant us grace to believe that for the rest of our days. God is our help and our rock and our fortress. Amen. Amen.